So today I'm going to repeat to you all a story a friend told me recently, and I think you'll find it really interesting. October, maybe my favorite month of the year. We've had some hot days this year, but I always say the heat of the day doesn't last very long this time of year. Maybe from 1:30 or 2 till 4 or 4:30, and then it cools off some already. If I'm up at 1 a.m., which I often am, for an hour or so, we have an 8x8 window way up in the gable of our vaulted living room, kitchen, dining room area. It's 29 feet from floor to the peak, and it's this time of year I get to see Orion the Hunter and the Seven Sister Stars out that window. I used to call him O'Brien the Hunter to my boys, a whimsical nod to Kenny O'Brien, runner of the filling station, the south side of town. Earlier in this month, my son Patrick and I gathered the 5 Howard County grandsons of mine. We cleaned off what was left of apples from Lynn Garvin's tree and our trees and ran them through our cider press. It wasn't a big apple year in these parts, but we still got 8 gallons, 2 of which are getting hard in the basement refrigerator. Ought to be perfect for our Thanksgiving meal next month. North of us in the county, Keith McBride gathered his family and kin and did 2 big copper kettles of apple butter. There were 36 of them peeling apples and cooking them down, constantly keeping the paddle going so it wouldn't burn. I think they said each kettle was full of apples, and cooked down, each kettle made 29 quarts. Pretty good haul for the family. Every so many years, Keith's brother-in-law, David Brissy, comes by to catch me up with me. He worked for me some back when he was in his late teens. He dated my kid's sister once or twice, and I considered him a friend, not just a worker. He had a way about him. His home was Houston, Missouri, Texas County, just the eastern edge of the Ozarks. His talk was as from that part of the state, and he was always full of stories, and still is. I don't know what brought it on, but this October he told me a new story, one I hadn't heard, a very tender one. He started out by saying, "Did I ever tell you about me holding my older brother in my arms? He died as a baby way before I was born." That casually put statement caught me with a start, and I thought, "What?" And the story began to unfold. But first I'm going to back up. Didn't I mention Dave's home was in Texas County, Missouri? County seat is Houston. Don't know if it's typical down there, but the Brissies pronounce it Houston with a silent H. Most counties in Missouri are about 20 by 20 miles in size, but Texas County is well over twice that, making it the biggest county in our state. They perennially have a bigger harvest of deer and turkey in the state than other counties, no doubt probably because of their size. Like their county, the Brissy family is very large. Ma and Pa Brissy had 15 children. The home place was humble. On one of Dave's other visits, he told me that the kids had gotten it together and put siding on the house, covering the black tar paper that had forever served the purpose. And around then, they'd put in a bathroom for Mama. Pa had passed on, and in her advanced age, she deserved the comfort. Upstairs, where most of them slept, you could see the cracks to the outside. The only heat in the winter in the upstairs bedrooms was from the stovepipe going through to the roof. On the wood stove downstairs, they'd place rocks. Then when they were hot, they'd wrap them in a towel and put them at the foot of their bed near their feet. Because when you have warm feet, it makes you feel warm all over. Imagine the times with that many kids in and out of the house. Work, play, meals, holidays, school, church, birthdays, weddings, night times in the winter around the wood stove, swapping stories of the day gone by. So that's some background. Now back to the story of baby boy Brissy. No name, he died on the day he was born. It was at home and it wasn't going right. One leg came out and the other was turned back. Birth was not happening. Living in Jackson at the time, they headed for the hospital in Cape Girardeau. At the end of the delivery, the baby was already dead. With broken hearts, they buried the baby in a cemetery at Jackson. Moving to Houston, many, many healthy babies came. A busy, busy, full, full life happened. Occasionally, mention of baby boy Brissy would come up. No doubt, Mama Brissy thought of it more often than he was mentioned, and maybe not. Her life was so full. Many, many years passed. Pa died. Three older sisters died, mainly at cancer. They had bought up a lot of plots in a nearby cemetery, and that was where, together, they would all lay. My friend David, seeing his mama aged, had a thought that started percolating. I'm going to do something for Mama before she dies. And his percolating thoughts became step-by-step actions. Yes, he was told the Jackson grave could be exhumed. Yes, David was told the Jackson grave could be exhumed, and the body of the baby could be moved. A little paperwork. But if you find the coffin, it will just contain a little pile of dust, he was told. Miraculously, David found a paper that showed the plot number and that they owned the plot in the cemetery at Jackson. Nearly 90 miles from Houston, David found the time and took the trip. He had his mother's blessing on the project, though somewhat reticent to see her son go through such an ordeal. Several of his siblings were against it, and they told him so. The man overseeing such things, dealing with the cemetery, said, "Yes, it's a Brissy-owned plot, but we have no record of a burial there. No headstone, no indication of an interment. I think you're mistaken. It was a long time ago, and I don't think you'll find anything in that plot." Not deterred, Dave insisted his older brother was buried there. So, grabbing a 4-foot rod, they poked around the depth of the plot. "Infants are not buried so deep," the man said. "And I don't see that there's anything here." David's reply, "I'm certain he was buried here. Can you get a longer pole?" The gentleman went after his 6-foot probe and thump. He felt he'd found something. David said, if you'll dig down for me with your backhoe, I'll give the plot back to the cemetery." The deal was taken, and a small backhoe was brought to the scene. Shortly, the depth was made, and some wood was exposed, but damaged some in the process. David grabbed his shovel and took over from there. "I didn't know what kind of wood it was. He didn't know what kind of wood it was, but it was still intact. And still, 4 shiny silvery lambs were tacked to the top of the small coffin. Wow. Inside, he found a tiny skull and bones, some dirt where the backhoe had damaged the coffin box. As he took it all out of the deep hole, David said to himself, "This is my baby brother Brissy that I am holding." It was an emotional moment. He set the remains and the box in a rough woolen army blanket and wrapped it all up. Off to home. No, Mama couldn't bring herself to examine the skeletal remains, but anxious to go to the plot when the reburial was finished. David built a new little wooden coffin and placed the four silvery lambs on it. He mixed up a mortar mix and closed it in a vault-like enclosure for longer-term protection. A single red rose was placed on the filled-in grave. A dealer came to the home place with his crusher and removed several junked cars. There was enough funds from this to place a headstone on the grave. Baby boy Brissy was now lying with others of his family, and more would come in the future. The task was now completed. David did it for his mama. She has since passed a few years back. 11 of her 15 children still are living.